Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com. or order from Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors and they support us. Thanks, and Nihei Debiru. Hey everybody, welcome to Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England. If you listen to the show on iTunes, please write a review and give us a 5-star rating. Also, be sure to check out the show's page on Facebook. Oh, man. In May, I went on one of the all-time great karate road trips. Kosho School of Karate instructor Evan Jones and I went on a week-long odyssey, starting in Cincinnati, Ohio, and then heading to Nashville, Tennessee, to train at James McLean's Kosho School of Karate with head instructor Ezra Scott. Then it was on to Dalton, Georgia, to jump in the Classical Fighting Arts Seminar taught by Yoshio Kuba and my good friend Miwa Kanazawa. Next was a long haul. Listen to this. Evan and I drove 13 hours straight, all the way from Georgia to Guelph, Ontario, to join in the annual Seido Kai Jodo Seminar. In Canada, Evan and I were joined by Kosho members Paul and Mark Tarvin, Travis Voles, and Tom Daugherty, all of whom were testing for their promotion in Jodo. We recorded episodes all along the trip, and I'll be releasing them over the next few weeks. In today's episode, we get to know my co-pilot, Evan Jones, and find out his background in the martial arts. That interview is coming up in just a minute. But first is the new Chop Talk news segment with our senior news correspondent, Gavo. How are you doing, Gavo?
Doing great. How are you doing, Buck?
Pretty good, pretty good. All right, man. Well, what have you got in the world of karate news for us this week?
Not a whole bunch of karate, but a whole bunch of Southeast Asia stuff. Did you see the ruling that's in the tribunal?
What's going on with that?
This the South China Sea arbitration between the Philippines and China.
All right.
Apparently the tribunal, which China did not even bother attending or putting any input into, has decided completely against them.
Well, imagine that. Well, okay, so now this is about, is this where China is going out and building all these artificial islands and artificial reefs and laying claim to things that are technically on the continental Asian shelf? Is that what this is regarding?
Yes. See, like, the thing is that China likes to fish a lot.
Yeah.
And so they need, and as part of their foreign policy, they have this three island chain thing that they're trying to do, where they try to get control. And the first island chain, you know, it comprises, you know, Taiwan and part of and it goes into the Philippines and Okinawa and whatnot, right?
Yeah, right. I know that they've been after a few islands in Okinawa. Of course, they still claim that Taiwan is them.
Yes.
Right. So, yeah, they're trying to expand.
Yeah, and the U.S. has had this containment policy, which is obviously why you have the military bases in the Philippines, Korea, Japan.
Right.
And, you know, the United States is trying to contain them for I don't know how many years now. And part of this ruling is it was mostly with the Philippines, right?
And right.
Do you know anything about this Filipino president?
No, I don't. I'm sure he's a Manny Pacquiao fan, but beyond that, I have no idea.
This guy is amazing. He was a mayor of Manila, I believe. I'm going to double-check that, but I'm pretty sure he was a mayor of Manila, and he's now the president, and he's noteworthy for two things.
All right, what are they?
First, he has huge populist support in the Philippines, and second, he has huge populist support because he says that we should, if you find a drug dealer, just murder him.
Okay, so he's the Donald Trump of the Philippines then, or?
Yeah, pretty much, and he's also expanded that. If you see a drug user, go ahead and kill them too.
Wow. Wow. I did not realize the Philippines had cracked down that hard On narcotics. Okay. So, and the people are into this.
Yeah, it's apparently just this guy, too. Apparently, he just, you know, the police are corrupt and the whole civil service is corrupt over there, apparently, which is why he gets this huge popularity boost, because he appeals to people who are just sick of it.
Okay, and so he's not, he's sick of China. He's not going to put up with their expansionist bullshit anymore. Is that the gist of it?
Well, he's a brand new president, and this ruling comes from the previous president, who is much more confrontational with China over this issue. This guy is more worried about killing drug dealers than he is with China.
Okay.
Even though the ruling's in his favor, China has already said, like, we're not going to do anything. We don't respect this at all. So we're just going to keep on doing what we're doing. We're not going to take our land bases or our landing strips off these islands. We're not going to deoccupy them. So we're just going to carry on like normal.
Right. So what's the point of the ruling then? If the Philippines, who the tribunal ruled in favor of the Philippines, but they're not going to enforce it. The UN's sure as hell not going to enforce it. We're not going to enforce it. So what's the point?
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly what you expect out of a decision from The Hague.
Okay.
Yeah, you're wrong, but we don't have anything in place to stop you from doing it. The only thing that's going to stop China is U.S. aircraft carriers. But apparently a lot of this has to do with there's the law of the seas, right, which... It was a convention that limited territorial claims to, like, you know, a few nautical miles off the coast everywhere, right?
Right.
Well, China's position, China and the Philippines are both signatories to this treaty. The United States is not. But what China has been saying is, we have all these islands that we own in the South China Sea, and we have territorial integrity. You know, we've got the... We can claim all the ocean around them, and the treaty says no. Those landmass, they're not big enough, you know, for you to be able to claim those.
They're not big enough for a couple of seagulls, let alone. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So
apparently, if they build them big enough, they can start claiming. But for right now.
Okay. So China's going to continue despite the ruling against them. Right. That's number one. Number two, that means that they're going to also continue with the islands that they're trying to claim from Vietnam and from Okinawa, because essentially their position is, we're going to get back everything we used to have and more, right?
Right. Well, they say just what we have. That's their official position, is we're going to claim what we have. We're not going to take anything because we've already got it, remember?
Right. We don't need to take it because it's already ours.
Yeah, we're not imperialists. We're just taking back the stuff that we got kicked out of 2,000 years ago.
Right. Oh, man. See, I mean, this is just, it's all very reminiscent of Japan pre-World War II. You know, we're just going to take these islands out here. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, you can go back to Japan in World War I. They did the same thing with the Germans.
Right, right. All right, so we'll look forward to see what happens with that in the next few months. All right, so what else have we got?
Yeah, I would be looking for I'd be definitely looking for U.S. exercises to be going on over there. That's for sure.
Yeah, just park a couple aircraft carriers down there and right next to their islands and see if they're still there.
Pretty much. Yeah.
All right, man. What else have we got?
Well, you got the Obama visit to Hiroshima.
Oh God! I didn't follow up on this. I couldn't follow up on this. Did he apologize? Did he?
He did not.
Oh man!
Not only did he not apologize, he also continued to insist that Japan was the reason for the war.
Wait! No!
Not apologizing. Hey, you guys are still at fault.
Chris, I'm sorry, man. This is not 2009. Obama's president now, not Bush. Are you check the date?
Right.
Check the date on your story. Are you sure this is what happened?
I am pretty sure. Oh. I mean, he gave hugs to the survivors.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was I'm reading the New York Times. It says May 27, 2016. So yeah, we have Obama over there, and so hopefully, you know, there weren't, since it's not Bush, there wasn't a lot of gaps.
Right.
you know, he didn't blame him for World War One or anything. So
good. He's not going to send Rambo after him again this time, right?
No, Rambo.
Okay, yeah. So that's good, man. I was relieved, you know, because, you know, Obama has the reputation of, you know, going around and kowtowing to different world leaders, and I was just afraid he was going to do that. And that's definitely one where, as horrible as it was, we're definitely on the right side of that one, because, my God, invading mainland Japan. If you just look at what happened to Okinawa, where 350,000 people died on this little backwater island. I mean, imagine the mainland. I mean, you'd have charges with bamboo spears with hundreds of thousands of people in them. That would have been horrendous for everybody. So, okay.
Right. You know, I understand that atomic weapons are very controversial, but I mean, look at the stuff that we were doing to Japan before the bombs. I mean, it was a question of whether or not we'd find a city. By the time we dropped them, it was a question of whether or not we'd find a city. Well, we hadn't already bombed it out, so we could get the full force of the bomb to kill as many people as we could.
That's absolutely true. I mean,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the firebombings of Tokyo, and, I mean, there were massive things that were equally as horrendous. Okay, it wasn't one bomb, but there was just some horrible stuff going on over there, and that ended it. So, all right.
And even then, I mean, it took two.
Right.
I don't know how you cannot surrender after one plane, one bomb. That's just incredible to me. I can't imagine the kind of resolve it would take to be able to do that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay. So, horrible thing to have happened, but go Barry. All right. Growing a pair. All right. I appreciate it. We got anything else going on?
Let's see. You know, I don't know if I should do this one or not, but there's been a samurai sword attack.
Oh, man. We're just speaking about Tokyo. What happened?
Well, this is in Pennsylvania, and apparently a one-armed man did it.
Okay. Give me some details, man.
Yeah, Todd Clark, 51, was living with his in-laws.
Okay.
Apparently his sister and brother-in-law. And they had kids in the house, you know, it's a family. They're just letting this guy, who's apparently down on his luck,
sure,
stay with them for like a year and a half. And apparently they got tired of him smoking weed in the house.
Ah, come on, man. Aren't they cool?
I know. Right? And apparently they weren't cool because they got into a fight, and the sister grabbed the cane that he was using. And all he had left to defend himself was the samurai sword.
He's got a right to defend himself, man. I mean, if someone's going to take his cane away.
Who doesn't carry a samurai sword with them when they're having a conversation with their family?
I know that I've had a samurai sword on me several times when I've had conversations with my family.
You almost have to in this day and age.
All right, so did everybody get whacked, or did anybody get whacked, or did they just get chased out of the house?
This would be the brother. This is a quote from the brother. Through the stitches in his mouth from getting hit in the face with the sword, all I felt was a crack. I thought he hit me with the cane he hit her with. I was covered in blood, and they told me, no, it was a sword. And, you know, at that point, that's kind of one of those things that you never want to hear.
No.
Oh, wow, what was that? Oh, man, you just got hit by a sword. Like, that would ruin my day.
Yeah, that would.
But, I mean, this guy isn't all bad. I mean, granted, he's not all right, get it?
Right.
But I was a little sympathetic to him. You know, he's quoting the article as saying, they didn't want me to smoke marijuana in the house. So I said, okay, I'll find somewhere else to smoke it. I had arranged to go to the neighbors and smoke it there. But he said, unfortunately, it's illegal all over, which is bogus, in my opinion.
That is bogus. It's even illegal next door. Oh man! All right.
What's wrong with these squares nowadays?
All right, guys. Well, that's just okay. If anybody out there is one armed, living on their brother-in-law's couch, and you have a samurai sword and weed, pawn the sword, sell the weed, and get an apartment. Then
you would think that would be like the right thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. Apartment first, samurai sword and weed second, is what I say.
Yeah, there's creature comforts, but at the end of the day, you need the roof over your head.
Right. Priorities, man. All right, buddy. Okay, we got anything else? You know what? Let's wrap it up for this week. We'll bring you back in next week for some more karate news.
Well, fantastic. Thanks for having me on, Nate.
All right. Thanks, Gavo. Signing off. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hey, everyone. Like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, coworker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Remember, if you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know, and we'd be happy to announce it on the program. And now, back to the show. And now, my on-the-road conversation with Evan Jones. All right, welcome to another Karate Road Trip edition of Chop Talk. We're on the road with Evan Jones, Black Belt, the Kosho School of Karate. How you doing, Evan?
Doing good.
Good, good. Well, we got a big road trip coming up. We're on the way here, starting off in Nashville. Going to work out at James McLean's Coastal School of Karate.
Yeah, I've never been there. That'll be great.
Oh, yeah, it'll be nice. I made a couple trips down there, so this will be good to have you along. And then on to Georgia. Now, it's not Atlanta. I always want to say Atlanta because that's the only place in Georgia I know. But it's, where is it? Dalton?
Dalton's a big city, but I think it's Far City or something like that, the town that it's in, so it must be like on the outskirts of Dalton.
Oh, wow.
Which is known for carpet, right?
Okay, right. It's a pretty, small town for a pretty big karate seminar. So the Classical Fighting Arts is putting it on. They're bringing in Yoshio Kubo, who's one of the top Goju-Ryu practitioners in the world, and our good friend Miwa Kanazawa, who's been on Chop Talk a couple times before, is going to be the translator. She's going to be there as well. And then the long haul is up to Guelph, Ontario, Canada. So we've got a 12-hour drive after Georgia so that Evan and the other four other Jodo guys can go up for their promotion. Because why would you have why would people who live in the U.S. be able to test for their rank there? They gotta go to Canada. Yeah, they gotta go to Canada to test, which is better than going to
Japan,
right? Which is the other alternative, which is what I had to do. So that's the plan, and we're in the first phase of that. So Evan, why don't we get to know you? Where are you from, and how did you get started in the martial arts?
Where am I from? I'm basically Ohio raised. So I've been in Cincinnati basically most of my life. So I guess I'm a Cincinnati boy.
All right.
But I've been other places as a child. I'm an Air Force brat. So I was born in Florida. I've been to Arizona, Germany, and Spain for places that we lived while I was small. I remember little bits and pieces, but mostly I don't remember much at all.
Well, you bounced around quite a bit. But you were in the Air Force too, right?
Yeah, I joined the National Guard.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you grew up in the military and you just couldn't get enough of it, so you...
Well, they paid for school.
Well, that helps.
It's a good program.
Yeah.
Put a plug in for it. Maybe that'll help my son out.
Yeah, that's it. Was that the GI Bill? Or was it something different?
It's something the state did. They paid 100% tuition, so...
Wow.
I gave him 6 years and I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
So I stayed 23. So 23 years working with the Air National Guard.
Well, I didn't realize you were in that long.
I only got activated really one time, and the time before that our unit had been activated was in 1956.
Okay.
So there wasn't an expectation of activation.
Right. But there was one.
We, when they started doing the drawdown after Desert Storm, they started leaning more and more on the Guard for backfill or filling positions. And
okay.
Part of the no-fly between the Gulf Wars, they had a no-fly zone over all of Iraq. In order to have a no-fly zone, you have to have radar coverage,
uh-huh.
AWACS, etc. And we were part of that.
Oh, wow. So which part were you?
We went to Kuwait.
Kuwait.
Yeah. That was different. I've never been to a place that has seen an active war from our side. They had a bunch of concrete bunkers that they bought from the French that were bomb-proof. They had like 12-foot thick reinforced steel bar rebar all through it.
Okay.
The big hole blown in and all the rebar just sticking out like spaghetti.
Their first clue is they bought it from the French, right?
I don't think there's anything that's
these helped bomb keep, the Nazis out during... This is my French accent, you know.
Yeah.
Keep out Saddam Hussein?
Yeah, you best get these French jokes out before you get to Canada.
Oh, that's true.
It's probably a slapping offense.
Oh, man. They're going to be offended. I think we have to do the chop talk in both languages legally. It has to be released.
Once we cross the border, I'll brush off my high school French and see how bad that goes.
Yeah,
I'm thinking pretty bad.
I don't have any. All I can say is bonjour.
Well, so
how long were you in Kuwait?
We were just our 4 months. We were filling in for active duty rotation. I think the group before us was there for 6 months.
Mm.
And they were making it into a 4 month rotation.
Okay.
For guard units to do the radar coverage.
Did you get off base at all? Or
got off a little bit. They were a little hesitant about that. And between the Gulf Wars, is nothing like after ISIS and whatever else we have going now.
Yeah, there's nobody running around cutting off anybody's heads at that point. But
let's say it wasn't popular.
Right. Wait a minute, Kuwait! We saved Kuwait!
Yeah, well, you know, that doesn't mean that the people that run around cutting people's heads off aren't out there.
No, that's true.
I think my brother did a tour in Saudi, and they, you know, were there at the invite of the Saudi government,
mm-hmm.
and everyone, he went to town once, and they pushed him up in front for a beheading.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think he particularly enjoyed that. He didn't go to town anymore after that.
Well, how'd he get out of that?
Well, it wasn't his beheading. They were beheading someone for something.
Oh, they wanted him to see.
They wanted him to have the front row.
It was a spectator event.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was just like, oh really? I needed that story.
Was it a legal beheading or was it a lynching?
Oh yeah, what's the diff?
Well, I guess
if the cleric says that's legal, right?
Well,
that's why we have.
Well, I guess
quote unquote the separation of church and state.
In the old West, I mean, they used to have the town hangings, and everyone would come out and have a picnic for that. But
Judge Roy Bean,
right? And it was okay as long as it wasn't just a group of citizens who threw a rope over a tree. Wow.
Yeah.
So how was the beheading? Did he like it?
No.
Was he traumatized?
I think that was about it for him.
Yeah, I would say so.
He didn't have anything really complimentary to say about it.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
I didn't see that. I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. So I guess you didn't get a chance to hit up the local bars and nightclubs.
No. They actually, I think that is a forbidden under Islamic law.
Right.
So that would have been bad. So when the Saudis or Kuwaitis want to go party, they go to Bahrain.
Okay, that's like their Las Vegas?
Yeah, what happens to Bahrain stays in Bahrain.
Mm-hmm.
Bahrain has alcohol, and Bahrain has bars, and Bahrain has the belly dancers.
Wow, hey, that place sounds all right.
Yeah, it was pretty nice.
Oh, you got to stop in Bahrain?
Oh yeah, we get to do R&R there.
Oh nice.
Yeah, I'm with Mr. Swingley.
Oh, Dennis. Oh really?
Yeah.
See, that's the other thing. It's like your best buddy works out at the karate school and lives next door to you, and you guys were in the military together.
Well, it kind of happened happenstance. I didn't know Dennis when I started working on karate. I was we were both in the same unit. I knew him because I knew everyone on the base.
Okay, so did you didn't know him when you started there, or you didn't know him at all?
I didn't know him at all. I mean, you know a lot of people when you're in the guard because, well, depending on what job you have, I've done a few, you interact with basically everyone in 23 years. So I knew of Dennis, but I didn't really know him.
Okay.
But then at some point he comes up and goes, "Hey, are you working at my karate school?" And I'm like, "Oh, really?" I hadn't seen him there.
Okay.
But yeah.
So how did you start working out doing the karate?
We had this health promotion thing. You know those health promotion things they do at big companies? They also do it for the federal government.
Okay.
And we had a health promotion, and they were like, challenge you to do something physical every day. And I was like, well, okay. Well, someone at work was working at a school up in Westchester.
Okay.
It's closed for reasons we don't want to go into.
Okay. There's a lot of karate schools for closing.
Yeah.
That kind of reasons.
Yeah, that kind of reason.
Yeah.
Fill in your favorite. But anyway, I'd seen her when she started, and I saw her when she quit, and I liked, hey, that made a difference for Paula.
She got in better shape, lost some weight.
She got better shape, lost some weight. She seemed more together.
Okay.
And I thought, I'd give that a try. So, you know, doing huge research, the closest karate school to my house happened to be Kosha's Cold Karate.
All right.
So I did a lot of research on this.
You walked out your front door, looked left, and looked right, and saw karate school and went in.
Well, I knew there was one in Mount Washington because it's between work and where I used to live.
Right.
So I came on a Friday night. They were having black belt sparring with Sensei. And I came in.
It's Awad. Mike Awad was.
Yeah, Sensei Mike Awad.
Right.
And he was in there sparring. And I got the door open up. Hang on. Come on back. Come on back on Wednesday. Heard him yelling, I thought, this is school for me, because my dad's a 20-year man in the military. He was a yeller.
He was Arleigh Ermey.
He's Air Force Master Sergeant, but he still basically yelled at his guys and got him to do the job.
Okay.
So I was used to being yelled at. you get different kinds of yelling, you know, you can have people that, you just stink, or just yelling because they want your attention and they want you to do something now.
Yeah.
I'm used to that, and that's what I got from Sensei that day.
Okay.
But, it's been a great, shall we say, luck of the draw.
Yeah.
I've been really happy with it.
Looking for a way to gain an edge on the competition? Want to give your body some much-needed relief and relaxation? Try Medical Resort ATEC, Okinawa's specialist in sports therapy and wellness care. ATEC offers customizable massage therapy. Try their oxygen chamber for increased metabolism and faster recovery from injuries. Or take their stretching course to improve flexibility. ATEC is used by professional athletes from the Ryukyu Golden Kings, FC Ryukyu, and Ryukyu Corazon. Stop into their center Monday through Saturday at 12830 Oroku in Naha City, Okinawa. Call 098-859-1890 or visit them on the web at www.sanso-atac.com. That's www.sanso-atac.com.
So when, about how long you've been working out?
I started in 96, May.
Okay.
So basically, this is 20 years from now. Although I didn't
year anniversary.
Yeah, I really didn't do too much in Kuwait. So I kind of a 4-month hiatus there.
Okay.
But, it's been really good.
Good. So, you know, what's your favorite part of the training? I mean, you do a little bit of everything, the kata, the sparring. Started to do the weapons a little bit more recently. You know what's
I realized a long time ago that you can learn a lot of the big stuff and then, or even like one kata, and I can drill down to one little thing really quickly. So basically, we go over something. I try and get one thing down. It can be just one thing.
Okay.
And try and make it better. And because the little things all add up, and
yeah,
find that if I get something wrong, it takes me forever to get it right. So I tend to, shall we say, obsess about the one thing. If I can figure out something I know I'm doing wrong, I'll try and focus on not doing that.
Okay.
Until it becomes not a habit again.
Okay. So just getting a little detail, step by step. Instead of
right. It's not, I'm not anal retentive about it, but I guess I'm okay with keeping it in my mind long enough to make it part of what I do. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm glad you're going on this road trip with me. Have you been out to many different seminars or tournaments, just
a couple. I've done the Nationals twice. I did
the USKK.
USKK Peoria. Nationals in Peoria. I did that twice. I did a seminar in Anderson, Indiana with Mr. Tom Awad.
Okay.
We went out together. And I one other one. All right. I guess I went out and worked out with Master Keppel. It's Keppel School. He wasn't there that day.
Okay, in Peoria.
In Peoria. Okay. So I'm not out and about too much.
Man, we're going to make up some road time for you on this one.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So the seminar down in Georgia, Yoshio Kuba, he's doing Goju. He's a Goju karate guy. Have you done much Goju or know much about it or anything?
No. Didn't we have a demo of Goju at the Joe seminar?
Yeah, we did. So
I didn't do
any
of that.
when we had the workshop, yeah, you were doing the Joe.
Well, right? It was kind of like the... Right.
Yeah, so when we had the event in Cincinnati, the workshop, we had all the people who wanted to do Joe were working together, and then all the people that were going to do karate went on the other group, and then Sensei Hammond, David Hammond, led the Shuriru group in karate, and then Miwa Kanazawa taught a session on Goju-ryu. And I know they had, part of it was they were comparing the Sanchin, because Shuriru has a couple of Goju katas in it. We have Sanchin and Tensho, but there's a whole bunch of katas that Goju-ryu has that Shuriru doesn't have. Seipai, Sionchin, and so forth. I mean, they have almost a completely different set of katas. And there's a couple different branches of Goju. The two big ones I would say in Okinawa are Kuba's group and also Higaona's group. So Higaona's maybe the most famous Goju group guy in the world. He's the head of the IOGKF, the International Organization of
Japanese Goju.
Something like that. Yeah, I don't know. If you're listening to it on the internet, just Google it. IOGKF. And Higaona's the head guy of that. Higaona's famous because he punches a rock. He's got this big rock in his dojo and he just beats on it every day. I went to... The first time I was in Okinawa, I went to his seminar. He puts on a big seminar every 4 years. And the session that he taught was... I was working right next to him, and I've never seen anything like his hands. He has, it looks like rocks growing out of his hands because they're so calloused from beating this rock. And he had, the knuckles were calloused, but you know, a lot of karate guys get calluses on their knuckles. He had also had calluses on the back of his hands, sort of by his wrist or his the pinky bone connects to the wrist. He had calluses there. And then he also had calluses up on his forearm from hitting this rock with a back fist over and over and over again. And it was also purple from the forearm all the way down the hand. I'd never seen anything like it. And those guys in that group, they work a lot of... Well, Goju in general does a lot of tension forms. So you're tight and you're doing your breathing and flexing all your muscles when you're doing it. But those guys also do a lot of supplemental exercises, Hojo Undo, and working with some of the old traditional karate training equipment, like lifting the jars or the leverage bars, things like that. And And I worked out at his dojo once when I was in Okinawa. He has a real big international organization. So he has a real big international organization. So he has a lot of Americans and other international people there. And there's a guy who was staying at the same hostel I was, who was there to train with him. So he got me in one night. Higo Ono wasn't teaching, but his top guy was. And they did a bunch of drills. They did, you know, the basic karate, but they also did a lot of the drills with lifting the weights and the movements with the jars. Now, they didn't have the jars. They just turned
dumbbells on their end.
And they lifted up and moved around with those. So real physically, they're really trying to develop their body, condition their body a lot there. Now, Kuba's group is a little bit different. So that was my impression of what Goju was, all tight, all hard, all the time. And when I got a chance to work with Kuba in South Africa, I did a little tour with them, with Miwa and Kuba, and in South Africa, and I thought we were just going to be doing tight moves all the time, but it turns out he's much more relaxed and much more fluid. And during a workshop we had in Cincinnati, Miwa described it as, you know, their Goju-Ryu is more internal and Higa Ono's is more external. So they're doing the same kata, but the focus is a little bit different.
Did you work out with both groups? Have you worked out with Miwa before?
Yes, yeah. So, you know, Miwa, I know Miwa because, you know, it's a small group. It's a small world. Okinawa is a small place. And so I bumped into her because she knew some of the people that I was working out with. She knew Shinzato, who I was working out with. She knew people at Miyahira's dojo. So I met her in the karate world, and then we wound up teaching at the same high school. And we were in the same office there. And so I went up and worked out with her teacher a couple times. Hello. Good, how's it going? Yeah, I'm just passing Horse Cave. I need to look at the map, but I think that we're not going to get there till closer to 6. Yeah. So, I don't know. That's it. Okay. Oh, wow, okay. Oh, wow. Okay. All right, I just passed a sign that said Nashville's at 94 miles. Yeah. Okay, sounds good.
I assume you just edit that out.
Yeah, I'll edit that out. Or, you know, it's a road trip, I should leave it in. Makes it more realistic.
Yeah, a little red color.
Yeah. I don't just have a audio of the wind blowing in the background.
Mawari no hito ni sawo sukete imasen ka? Anata no karada wa kyusoku wo hitsuyo to shite imasen ka? Sports Massage Kenko no Specialist Medical Resort ATAC wo ichido torai shite mite kudasai. ATAC de wa okyakusama no karada ni awaseta massage wo okunaimasu. Mata, ATAC no sanso shitsu ni mo torai shite mite kudasai. Taisha koujo, kega no soki kaifuki ni kikimasu. Junansei wo takameru, stretching course ni mo torai shite mite kudasai. ATAC wa pro chimu, Rukyu Golden Kings, FC Rukyu, soshite Rukyu Korazan no senshu mo ryo shite masu. Zehi ichido goraiten kudasai. Open, ketsuyobi kara, doyobi made, Okinawa ken, Naha shi, Oroku, 1 no 28 no 30. Denwa bango, 098-859-1890. Homepage mo cheko shite mite kudasai. www.sanso-atac.com. www.sanso-atac.com. Ego, Portugal go, Spain go, Nihongo ga hanaseru staff ga imasu.
talking about? Oh, so yeah, so I,
you all same school.
Yeah, so so Miwa was a real good friend of mine, so she got me in to work out with her teacher. It was a really, really good experience. They worked a lot of kicking drills. They had a young guy who started the warm-ups. He had a bunch of kicking drills that he loved, and we did those. And then Kuba Sensei kind of took over the class and worked some kata, but you know, I knew some of the Goju katas, but I'm not a Goju guy, so I didn't know it that well. So we worked quite a few wrist locks and joint locks and controls and things like that. He's really good at that. He's also an acupuncture specialist or expert. So he knows right where to hit you to make it hurt. And then the other group, Higaona's group, I worked out with them, it was real interesting because they had the they didn't use the jars. Like, I guess in olden days they used jars, but in modern times you can just turn a dumbbell on the end and do the same thing. And instead of adding more water or more sand, you just go get the bigger dumbbell. So we're doing these drills where you had the dumbbells in your hand, you extended them out, you twisted, and then you lift them up, lift them down, out, out, twist, twist, step forward, do the same thing on the other side, up, down, in, out, twist, twist, up, down, in, out. And I think most people, when they go there, they haven't done that sort of exercise at all, and I hadn't done that much of it, but when I could do those exercises, they had kilograms. We didn't have pounds, they had kilograms, so they had like 5 kilogram weights and then 7 kilogram weights. And so with the 5 kilogram weights, everybody in the whole group was doing 5 kilogram weights, and I was doing them too. And they looked real disappointed that I could do it, because I think they're not used to people being able to do it. So they said, "Ah, no, those are for women. You do with these." And they brought out the 7 kilogram weights, which was like 15 pounds. So they basically go from 10 to 15 pounds. And
so
then
they were all women.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Are they saying I was the only man in there, or these guys aren't able to you know? You know, they're the women level. I don't know what it was, so, but I thought that was kind of funny. I was the only one working with the heavier weights, but that's okay. You know, that was fun. It was a good workout. I had fun with those guys. But that was the only time I worked out with him. But then with Kuba, you know, worked out with him a couple of times. But his dojo is way in north Okinawa, and I was living farther south in Naha. But I got to do the tour in South Africa with him, which was really good.
How big is Okinawa, top to bottom?
Top to bottom, it's 90 miles. 90 miles long. Almost everybody lives in sort of the southern third in Naha, and then there's some other cities. It's sort of, the city just doesn't end. It's officially called other cities as you go north, but you never get a break. You never get the countryside.
So and how long would it take you to go 90 miles?
About 4 hours.
About 4 hours.
Yeah.
And you were talking about it being far away, because the way you talked about it, he's on the north side of the island, like it was almost another world. I knew Okinawa wasn't very big, but I figured it was a small distance over a long time.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, because it's 90 miles long, but it's only about 2 miles or maybe 5 miles wide, so it's very narrow. So everybody's squished into this little area. So the traffic is terrible, and then even if you get out of the traffic, when you get out in the jungle, the roads are windy and back and forth, and so that doesn't take, those take a lot of time to go on also. So to get up to his dojo, you know, it's a good hour and a half, you know, journey. And on your scooter. Sometimes it's a little bit longer.
Drive back would be special.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, in Okinawa, it's a strange place, man. It, you know, because it almost is like its own little world. When I was teaching high school, I was teaching the high school English class, and this assignment before our Christmas break is they had to say what they were going to do during their, it wasn't Christmas break, I guess, New Year's break.
New Year's break.
There's no Christmas in Japan. They have Christmas in Japan, but it's very different. And New Year's break. And so their assignment was they had to get up and they had to say what they were going to do during their New Year's break and why they were going to do it, or they had to elaborate on it or something like that. I'd ask them a follow-up question. So one girl got up and she said, "I am going to Haido Misaki, which is the north point of Okinawa." I said, "Oh, okay, well, that's a nice trip for your New Year's break. And why are you going to go there?" "Because I want to see snow." So, it's 90 miles away. It's still the tropics. There's still never been a flake of snow on the island.
Didn't you say they saw some this last
year? Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, there's climate change for like the first time in like 27 years.
That's a global warming thing.
Right. There was a couple of flakes. Now, it was still not on the ground.
but if you'd never seen snow.
Right. Yeah, and it made big news. So, yeah, there was snow there. But she wasn't going to go skiing up in northern Okinawa. But they sort of, it's like, you might as well be going to Alaska if you're going to the northernmost point of Okinawa. Well, you started doing Johto recently also.
Yeah, Johto. You had arranged a seminar and visitation from your Johto instructor, Fukuhara?
Yeah, Fukuhara-sensei. We had a big group. We had 6-7 people come over from Japan.
We had that all set up to go, and I'd watched you guys go through some of your routines warming up for that, and I thought, it'd be kind of nice if I knew how to do something like that when they come to visit.
Right.
So I started taking the class, and I like it.
Good.
I do like it.
Do you find it much different than karate? Or are you finding similarities?
There's some similarities and some differences, like every martial art. I tend to relax more with it than I do with karate. I think tensing up is a mistake. And you kind of flow with it. So I see it as a nice change of pace for me.
Yeah, that helped me with that relaxation also, because it's real easy to get tighter and tighter when you do karate and just try to use your muscles and your power as much as you can. But with Johto, to get the power, you need to really relax, you know, slide the weapon through your hand and not tense up. When you tense up, that really stops the power because it just moves differently. The movements are even different than something like Okinawan Kabuto when you're working the bow. The movements in the Kabuto are very similar to karate, but Johto is different. So it really does help you relax and kind of find different ways of being able to hit hard. And now you're testing for your EQ.
EQ. Yeah, it didn't really occur to me that I would test, but it just kind of happened.
Yeah. Well, you're ready, so why not?
Well, yeah, I know. Well, it's the Canada trip.
Right.
I'm driving more than a couple hundred miles to go test for something.
I know.
So I doubled down and went on this trip.
Yeah.
I don't really know what thought process went into this for me. I'm just kind of, sure, why not?
Yeah.
I didn't get permission, but...
That's all right. What were you telling me about the Shakers, the Quakers?
The Shakers. There's this, it's a historical site now, in the Shaker Village in... they call it Shakertown, but I think it has a different name. Basically, the Shakers were a turn-of-the-century religious group that believed that men and women should live separately. Mm-hmm. And they became more or less a commune with men in one house and women in another.
Okay.
And they lived cooperatively where people would do different tasks. At the time, it was hard to make a living on your own, but they were pretty successful. Other than the men and women not living together or not having children.
See, that would make it hard to continue the religion because you don't have
exactly what their downfall. That's exactly what their downfall was. All they could do is bring in people because they basically didn't procreate at all.
All right.
And they died off.
All right. You know what? No kids. You know, living separately from the women. I could join up for this.
They have no visitation program.
Is there like a branch, like a heretic branch And do you have to live with like a dorm with other men, or can you like have your own apartment?
I think you live together. I don't know if the idea was. I think the idea was to cooperate in order to get by.
Okay.
Partly.
Well, it's just like normal society. I could get into this. I think I'm gonna sign up.
Huh?
Do they have a big? Are there many of them left?
I don't think there are any left.
No.
Actually.
All right. Well, that's all right. I'll be the Pope. I'll be the Shaker Pope.
Pope England.
Yeah. I'll be the head guy, and then I can decide whatever the rules are. It's like no kids, no women living in my apartment. And that's it.
Oh, like the Pope gets visitation rights.
That's right.
The rest of you guys, nah.
No, you guys are on your own.
Nah. Make up your own religion.
Yeah, the Church of England. Wait a minute. I think the Queen's in charge of that. We'll have to call something else.
Yeah. She'd be displeased.
Yeah.
Very displeased. Ron L. Hubbard was a science fiction writer that started his own religion.
Oh, the Scientology.
Yeah.
Yo, yeah. Those guys.
I think he talked about it, and he said, you know, the best way to make money would be to start a religion. And then he did.
That's good. Maybe I could start. I could see myself running my own cult. I could do that.
Yeah, find me a place to work out. After the indoctrination, Evan, you won't have a problem.
I'll get a ranch somewhere, sort of outside of town in the desert. I'll learn to play acoustic guitar. I'll write some songs. Really get into the Beatles. Grow a long beard. Have a harem of runaways. Try to start a race. Well, wait a minute.
Is that Waco, Texas, or
I think it's old Charlie Manson.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Branch Davidians were.
Yeah.
Along that vein too.
I'll draw the line at drawing a swastika on my forehead. That's a step too far.
I think he did that just to piss people off.
Yeah, I think it worked.
It did work.
All right.
There's a segue.
Yeah. All right, man. We got anything else for the first leg of the journey here?
Nah, I think we're good.
All right, that's a good intro.
Okay, that's all for the first leg of our trip. Thanks to Evan Jones and news correspondent Gabo. For those of you interested in learning more about Evan Jones and the Kosho School of Karate in Cincinnati, Ohio, you can visit www.koshoschoolofkarate.com. Be sure to tune in the next few weeks for more episodes from our road trip, including interviews with Ezra Scott, Yoshio Kuba, Miwa Kanazawa, and the other guys from the Kosho School of Karate. Nihadibiru and Mataya. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.